This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar to every season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Hard Grants is brought to you by Alive, Commonwealth Bank, Tavinia Grill Foods, Mobile Garage Technologies, and Popeyes.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant, The Foundation, right here on Guardian Radio on this absolutely gorgeous Monday, March 13th. We are an hour ahead now. Talk to me. For all of you who are out there trying to figure, why is it so dark at 6:30? Why is it so dark this morning? And you went back to sleep? Right, you're late this morning, your makeup halfway on, you're half shaved, we could still see the little stubbles. You need to stop it. This is as a result of the time going at 1 hour ahead yesterday. And yesterday we celebrated my wife's birthday. Do I get you in my business a lot? Do I do that? Do I? How are you always talking about your wife? Listen, it's my wife. It's my one wife. Good, decent woman. Praise God for her. She celebrated her birthday yesterday. And I must tell you this, and this is a shameless plug. I might as well tell you the truth. I must tell you this, shameless plug. We got a cake from Platinum Pastries, right? One of the chocolate mousse Bailey's thing, the little Bailey's. Airy, frothy, absolutely delicious. My family enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it. My babies definitely enjoyed it. And we must give a shout out to Platinum Pastries for being able to do that and supply us with that. You guys know what to do if you want to be a part of that. Platinum Pastries always sponsors the show. They're going to be here again and being able to do some stuff with us this week. So we are excited about that. And she celebrated her birthday yesterday. She had a little... She had a little day out with the girls. She didn't even tell me she was doing it, which is wild, right? Saturday, she just jumped up. She's like, I'm going out. I was like, okay. Where you go? The baby's on my lap, right? I got a baby, right? So I'm going out. She all dressed up. I'm like, what's this scent in the house? Smells so sweet. What's going on here, right? I'm going out. I'm like, where are you going? Me and the girls are going out to Mimosa. Right? So I'm like, what? I want mimosas too. It's not your problem. She went out. She enjoyed herself over the weekend. Sunday, we had a great time. And we really enjoyed that day, the celebration, to be able to do those things. I want to thank all those persons who sent her a happy birthday, all those persons who sent it to me to give it to her. I want to say to her, happy birthday. If you're celebrating a birthday this month, I say happy birthday to you. I know my good friend, Tim's daughter's birthday is this month. I know Kermit's going to be celebrating a birthday in March. On the 30th, if you guys are there and you're celebrating a birthday in March, is that Pisces? Are you all Pisces, right? Is Pisces, does that equate to indecency? Talk to me. Are all y'all miserable? Just talk to me. I mean, I don't know. I don't do the zodiac sign thing, but that's what it is. So I say happy birthday to all you guys who are celebrating a birthday. I feel good today. I don't know. I just got a haircut. I feel good. I'm happy to be here in the land of living. Always happy to kind of be here and really have a good conversation. The lines, I want to talk with you directly. We did that last week and I thought it was very good. And I want to kind of do it again this week to talk about any manner of issues that we're having in the country. I want you to be a part of the conversation today. The numbers you can call are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or you can hit me up on the text 422-4796. We're talking all manner of things today. But before we get started, I want to thank Mobile Garage. If you think your fleet cost is too high, Give us a call today. Mobile Garage Fleet Solution with dash cams to reduce vehicle damages. Data loggers to reduce fuel costs, unnecessary driving, and vehicle wear and tear. Give us a call today at 422-4575 or visit mobilegaragefleets.com to see how to lower your fleet costs now, right? Give my guy a call. This is Byron, 422-4575. And let's see if we could be able to make something happen. The lines are lit right up, and we're good to go in terms of conversation, but let's just put a few things out there. Retailers fire back at Al-Qaeda's appeal for meeting with government, right? Vice President of the Bahamas Petroleum Retail Association, Vasco Bastian, yesterday expressed deep disappointment in the Ministry of Economic Affairs, Michael Halkidis' response to the cries of retailers for a margin adjustment, stating that Halkidis clearly has some kind of problem with a group of Bahamian business owners. I feel like that's reverse psychology. I'm not going to fight you, sir. But let's keep reading, right? So it says that speaking to the Senate last week, Halkidis said that the government is not prepared to entertain an increase in margins for the petroleum retailers if it means the pump will increase, and appealed to the association to talk with the government. Speaking to the Nassau Guardian yesterday, Bastian said, I asked Minister of Economic Affairs, Michael Halkidis, I asked him if he could reconsider his position that he has taken in regards. And the paper, guys, make sure you pick up your paper. I know it's 12 o'clock in the day. You feel like this is not news anymore. It's history. But the truth of the matter is, it's still news. In regards to the gas station operators and the owners throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I asked Mr. Halkidis if we could also switch roles. Let me become the Minister of Economic Affairs for 6 months, and he come and owns and operates a gas station in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I am very, very disappointed in the Minister for Economic Affairs, Michael Halkidis, who is my friend and who I like you, Mr. Bastian, I might as tell you the truth, right? I am going to be very honest with you. I like how you use your reverse psychology with strategy. You're very good. You're very good in terms of being able to, he's my friend. And this is the paper. This is the issue that we're having in the country right now. A lot of persons. Did you hear the voice note? Did you hear the voice note? My gas right now, outside, smiling. My truck's outside, smiling. From last week, when I put $100 in the thing, I have not driven anywhere. Talk to me. Are we going to be very clear about what's happening in this country? I put $100 gas in the car because of this sort of, I told you, my wife called me out of nowhere. She said, we didn't watch the news last night. I was like, no, we didn't watch the news. You know, we were on a little ride. So she said, well, on the news, the association indicated that they were going to strike. So I said, oh my God. Before I even touched the paper, I ran, put $100 in the car. And then I, you know, kind of watched Eyewitness News. You watch our news. We watch all the news. And then I read the papers. And I said, no, this is not what the association said. Meanwhile, my truck's out there smiling from air to air, and I'm driving 25 miles an hour dead slow from point A to point B. Because why? We're going to have to keep this in here as long as humanly possible. That's what's happening. This is where we are right now. Is there a panic and a frenzy in Grand Bahama right now? Persons are saying, man, they're booking out the gas stations. They don't know if the persons are going. Was this a strategy designed by the association to get people to kind of push at the pumps? I want to know about your numbers over the past year. I want to know about your numbers in comparison over the past 2 years to the 2 years before that. Give me those numbers. And let's draw the comparison and we can be able to see what's happening in the country. The average person is probably putting at least 45%, almost 50% less gasoline in their cars, what they would have done. And I want to talk about these particular things because these are the issues that really matter. These are the issues that are every day-to-day issues that actually can be able to dictate whether or not you get up and go and pursue something or not. For me, it is. For me, it is. Listen, I'm one of those persons, you know, as a big guy, I'm a bigger guy, right? And so it's just, I just can't just jump up and do things. I got to anticipate. Come go out with me. Where are we going? Where are we going to be sitting? Do they have the chairs that can hold big fellas? All these, I got to do all kind of calculus in my head in anticipation for the spaces that I go. And I know that we do the exact same thing with our gas. Let's be very clear about this. Where are we going? What will we be going down there for? Well, before we come back, we might as well do these particular things because we have to make a determination as to whether or not this is going to be a productive trip or cost us money. And we can't afford it. And so when the association takes on a position that they may strike, it does a few things. It questions us, what am I going to do if they strike? I still have to go to work. I still have to do these things. So now let me go put the car, fill the car up with gas. Let's do these things. But I want to have a very clear conversation. I had a conversation with Mr. Raymond Jones Jr. Over the weekend and talking about what the association would do, what they intend to do. They were supposed to be able to have a meeting. I think that meeting was supposed to be held this morning. If they're going to be having that particular meeting, I want them to, the table's wine. I want to be clear about this, man. I want to know where we are in this country. I want to know whether or not this is going to be the sort of tyranny and this kind of scare tactics that you use for the people to move and gravitate towards what you're doing. Is this the tactic that you're using against the government and simultaneously on the people of the Bahamas? I want to know about these things. Give me a call, guys. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Grant.
Hey, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, chum, bro. How was your weekend?
I'm good, man. All is well. My wife enjoyed her birthday this weekend, so we had a good time.
Y'all was together or she was with the girls?
No, man. Everybody was together.
Well, I went to enjoy the birthday party with an old friend of all of us. I want to say happy birthday to Mr. Tynes, the old retired clerk from the House of Assembly.
He
had it and invited yours truly up there. To
really?
Have one of those funny-looking bottles that they call Guinness today, you know? So, bad enough, but I still feel its effect today. But anyway, thanks to Mr. Tynes. Happy birthday, sir. From the Bahamian people, you did a good job when you were there.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, everybody admired his work. But, you know, sometimes when I drive around, normally I'm by myself, and I, your brain is going through some twisters sometimes when you get caught up in the traffic of this country. You understand? I wonder if it's a conspiracy just to make us spend money daily by the minute on gas. For example, I had to travel to Inland Revenue to get my business license renewed.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be renewed as soon after December the 31st, right? Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You go down there, now we're into March, and they say it ain't ready yet. But you have to show your business license to transact business when you go different places like banks or to get paid or something like this. Now, you don't have your business license because it expired December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to travel from Tanique Darden Highway, east along highway, over Blue Hill Road, down Blue Hill Road to Carmichael's turn off. Then I got to go from Blue Hill Road and Carmichael all the way down to the plaza where the Inland Revenue is.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that long route?
Mm-hmm.
The traffic line starts on Tanique Darden Highway. That is full of with traffic. Blue Hill Road going over the hill has traffic. Blue Hill Road down going down the hill has traffic. Carmichael Road from the entrance to the Carmichael Road down the Inland Revenue has traffic all the way. To get down there, you have to be burning gas because when the traffic ain't moving, your engine's still on, right?
Yeah, but Sparky, you can do all this online.
Then you got to come back the same route.
Sparky, you could do all this online. Sparky, you could do everything online.
No, you can't do it online because every time you try to do it online, your computer tells you that they down, their system down.
Really?
So, yeah, what? But then I tell you, I had to go down there five times to get my mind square. Calling all the people that I know, yours truly know. They trying this. Think about it. It got to be a conspiracy for us to burn gas because look at the traffic that is there all the time. And whenever you stop in traffic, your car engine is on. You are burning gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when you turn, if you missing breakdown on the side of the road. You can't turn off nowhere because the sidewalks are always right there. You can't turn off the back of your car.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it when you drive around town. You are burning gas in traffic all the time, and they still bringing cars into this country. And everybody, from the daddy to the mommy, the grandmother, and everybody, 5 cars in 1 yard.
Wow. Well, Sparky, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's a conspiracy.
Over the hill, about 3-4 cars in 1 yard. Burning gas all day, every day. And the gas station lines full of people. It got to be a conspiracy between the gas dealers for us to just be buying gas. And so, everything going up around here except your salary. And when you ask for an increase, now you got a problem there. Because your corned beef just gone up. Hello?
Wow.
Your rice going up. Your corned beef going up. Your toothpaste, your soap, everything going up. And guess what? Your tomato gone up, but we don't even grow tomatoes in the Bahamas no more.
Mm.
We got to import everything. And if you try to start a farm around here, you can't start a farm because you ain't got no land. And if you got a land, you can hardly afford to start your farm because you can't afford the equipment. It's got to be a conspiracy to keep us on the plantation.
But Sparky, you were in a good position. You were in a good position. You know a lot of people go down there and talk to your good, decent prime minister who you call your boy.
Man, look here.
Talk to me.
Let me tell you something.
I can't get
on him. I don't believe he can do some of the things he want to do.
Sparky.
No.
This man is the prime minister.
Prime minister, they say the wishes of the people is set the wishes of God. Well, God has put all the politicians in our seven. He put Mr. Minister. Look what he did to us.
Sparky, let me get some of these telephone calls. I appreciate you, my brother.
You don't believe God put Mr. Minister in House Assembly there?
Well, that's what he say.
The people say. They say the vision of the people is the vision of God.
They put God, and let me tell you something. Those hard right GOP Republicans will tell you that God sent President Trump.
But what? Look, I believe that too. But look here. But before I go, hold on, 1 minute before I go. I believe personally Mr. Brave Davis is trying his best to do he could. One of the biggest problems I have, and I can say it like that, one of the biggest problems I have is not with Mr. Davis. He's trying his best as prime minister of this country. But them, some of them cronies around us, those new people were just going in there. They used to have no chauffeur-driven car, no bodyguard with gun in their chest, and no car but they don't have to buy gas, and no plane ticket in their back pocket every day. They ain't used to having all this party time. I tell a lot of them, whichever party you belong to, 5 years will run up quick on you if you all go back twice.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you, Sparky.
The Prime Minister is my friend, and I am a PLP, and I'm not afraid to say that. Have a good day.
Call him and tell him fix some things, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796. What's on your mind? There's enough things happening in this country that you can be able to contribute to it. And we can be able to have some of this social discourse to find out where we are and where we're going. I want to talk about that. Friday, we had a significant conversation about what's happening over RCI, right? Over at Paradise Island, over on the Paradise Island, the property over there that we were supposed to be able to identify. Initially, it was supposed to be identified for Toby Smith and... You know, I think many of us, if not all, were really rallying behind Toby because a victory for Toby meant a victory for who we are. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Caller? Give me a call back, please. Let's be a part of the conversation. And a victory for Toby is a victory for all of us. Right, I think a lot of us were kind of rallying behind him and hoping he would find himself in a position to make some things happen. The government, Grammy would say, turned cat gut. And then they indicated because RCI changed the ramifications of their position, that's why they did what they did. But I just want to have a very clear conversation. I want to talk about who we are. I did some more research, did some more reading on these particular things, had significant conversations to find out that there is deception afoot from the information that was been delivered from a formal capacity under the former administration, the information that was delivered was done so in deception. There's some things afoot, right? I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of this and that. I won't be calling any names on this station for the purposes of being able to keep us out of the courts. But the truth of the matter is that I just feel as though there's something going on. And if we can't find the victory for him, then I'm just afraid that there's no victory for us. And I know a lot of persons want to talk about it, right? I got a text on Friday that spoke to me about that, in so many words, said, Howard, we're missing an opportunity to be able to educate. We need to be able to educate and say, this is what the government said, this is what the people said, so forth and so on. And the specific details that's released in the public domain about what one party said as opposed to the other has never really, for the most part, changed the conviction or the position of the government for something that we feel that they've done or gone contrary to their word as a result of. It's never done that. And so I wanted to kind of drive home this point on Friday of, despite the details, the government superseded that and took on a position that they could have. Despite the details, they superseded that position and pushed Toby Smith aside to be able to embrace an opportunity and then presented this idea, this label to the Bahamian public and said, you have an opportunity to purchase into this. This is what we've done. We still retain our crown land. We've done all of these particular things. Is that supposed to suffice? That's the question that I have. Are we supposed to yield to this? Well, you know, Toby ain't get it, but all of us can have an opportunity to do. Is that sort of the thing that we're doing here? I want to talk about that. And over the weekend, I've gotten even more information about what's happening in the Free National Movement. I spoke to Mr. Bennett Minnis also, right? We're doing our best to be able to reach Mr. Zendo Marling to be able to find out more information. And we're supposed to have Mr. Maurice Moore to be able to call in and speak to us. Let's be very clear about this. Some stuff is afoot. And if we don't get these things right at its root, there could be no expectation as we grow further and deeper into the future that these things are going to be right. Guys, the lines are wide open today. 96.9 FM radio, 323-6232, 325-431-6, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796, or just be a part of the conversation one way or the other. Whatever on your mind, wide open lines today. Foundation with Howard Graham. We're going to take this commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Howard Grant, your company, 96.9 FM radio, the foundation, being able to chop it down and having a beautiful conversation with you on this great Monday, March 13th. I'm happy to be in your company. The time is 1 hour forward. I think I'm hoping that we as a people can leap, hours and leaps and bounds forward into the future where there is assured progression. But is there? Is there? Can we talk like this? Can we have this kind of a conversation? Is there any hope for us? Is there any hope and any expectation that things will get better from this point? If we can see our politicians from an internal aspect within their parties turn on their people in their organizations, is there any expectation that these men and women who we deem as honorable through constitutional positions, through a social construct, who we deem as honorable, who we call honorable, is there any expectations for them to grow the kind of convictions in the seat of power, in position to make the changes necessary to see our country move forward? That's what I just want to know that. I want to know that if you're nestled in this position that you've thrown your hands up in this country that says, well, you know, what I can do. I think many of us have yielded to this notion that it is what it is. Whether that is the introduction of corruption, whether that is the idea that you cannot go beyond a particular point, whatever that is, have we yielded to that? Have we given over our convictions and our strengths to the idea that corruption is the order of the day? Is the order of the day, and we can't get past this point? I want to talk to you about it. The lines are open today. If you want to be able to give me a call, 325-4215-9, or hit me up on the text 422-4796. We just took a commercial break. We're fresh from commercial break. Let's be able to hit it, guys. Let me see if I can be able to read this. Hi, Howard. When the Lord starts to warn a nation of impending judgment, that nation is too far gone. I've done my part. There's a text that actually came through. There's another text. Good day, Howard. Happy belated birthday to your wife. Thank you very much. Right, and this is the text that came to you. It says, tell Sparky and everyone whose vehicle is sitting in traffic, idling, burning gasoline, go electric and fully electric, no hybrid vehicles, meaning half gas, half electric. Dump the pump, go fully electric. With these new electric vehicles, a single car can last 5 to 7 days. So you don't have to worry about BEC or BPL back out for 1 or 2 days, you're still straight. Even BEC and BPL are surprisingly certain gas station operators driving fully electric vehicles. I don't know. I mean, I feel indifferent about this. Let me tell you why. I have a notion about this, right? I looked at the new electric vehicles. I did a lot of studies on it. The Rivian, the Lucid. I did some studies on it, and I wanted to kind of get one or two. And so I was doing the studies, and I said, you know what? The overarching objective is to cut down on your carbon footprint. And if our country is not creating the infrastructure to be able to pull away from that, then what is the use of us doing these particular... That's just me. That's just Howard. This ain't me going against any of those guys who's selling electric vehicles. I'm just saying. I'm looking at it. And I'm saying to myself, is our contribution... Is our country creating the infrastructure and we're designing this particular concept that we can be good environmental stewards into the future? I don't think we are. I don't think this administration or any, even though this administration has had a significant position as it relates to COP26 and the introduction of their administration and what they're kind of hinging their hat on, globally, what their intent is in terms of being able to move forward, the infrastructure is not being created locally. The Prime Minister doesn't have one of these vehicles. I think I see one or two within the government fleets, but for the most part, you're driving Kias, you're driving your Fords, you're driving these particular things, all what emits gasoline, all with a fuel emission. And infrastructural redesign to ensure that the government leads by example. Let's just be very clear about it. The government has taken on a very strong position in being able to speak to the world of our expectations. And the fact that we are the recipients of a great treatment, great factories all over the world, and what's happening, and these things wash up on our shores, they're in the Pacific, they're in the Atlantic, all these things are happening. And simultaneously, we're not making the necessary steps internally to ensure that we are in a position to say that we're good stewards. We're not. Are we? We're not. Our government is in the position to talk about these things. I like you. I like the conversation about these things. It's good. But to plug into your house and bunker sea fuel that's raging into the atmosphere. Bunker sea fuel that's raging into the atmosphere as we plug this thing in. Then the conversation has to go back to the core. What are we really doing here? What are we really doing? And that's all it is. Is structure designed to ensure that we are good stewards into the future? I doubt that. I doubt that. And I don't believe that we are. I believe that we want to show ourselves to be good to the world in terms of our conversation. And that's theoretical. But in practical, in actuality, in application, locally, we don't do that. And I feel like it's a contradiction for who we are. The same contradiction our government says that we can be more, we should be more creative, right? Our conversations, our government says we should be more creative and use innovation and be able to deal with youth. All these things on paper for the next generation to read and see that, oh my God, the Free National Movement were very progressive in the things that they said. But in day-to-day life, we see none of that. The first persons get killed in political organizations is those with youthful aspirations and ideas. That's the first people that get killed. Proverbially, politically. They look at you and they take you out. Bop. They take you out. Because your aspirations are too rich. And so all of our governments has dealt with the social rhythm of being able to say one thing to another. Now let's have that. Is this blatant deception? Are you blatantly deceiving the people, or are you convinced that you're doing the right thing? And if this is your conviction and the way that you're convinced, then going back to what Sparky said, the will of the people is the will of God. Are you going against God when you go against your people? And if you are, can there be any expectation that you would ever return to this position? I don't think a lot of our politicians recognize that they're damaging the next generation of leaders in this country that's supposed to come out of the families. Talk to me about it. Let's be very clear about this thing. Building oligarchy, political oligarchy within your organizations based upon your last name. So whether that you're an Ingram, you're a Minnis, you're a Turnquist, you're a Christie, you're a Roll, whoever you are. Your commitment over the years and delving into social issues and otherwise is building on a legacy for the next generation. But you don't know that you're contaminating the thing simultaneously. You're contaminating it. Because we're still looking for conviction. We're still looking for that man and woman with strength to continue to be able to push forward in their positions. We're not doing that. And so while you're having these conversations, I just feel like it's a bunch of fluff because I haven't seen anything, any significant change in this country over the past 50 years. I haven't. Oh, Howard, you know you have liberties. And this, yes, we have been educated and liberated to look outside of these walls and the shores of the Bahamas for opportunities. That is where our liberation exists. It's a crying shame that the entire world looks to the Bahamas as a getaway, and the Bahamians, those of us who've tapped into education, insight, look outside for an opportunity. It's a crying shame. I want to talk about that. We got one more commercial to take before we can get out of here. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Popeyes, get the chicken sandwich you love, but make it blackened. Marinated in Popeyes blackened seasoning, that is. Our new juicy filet, it's fried to perfection without the breading, served on a toasted brioche bun. Try it today as a combo or a la carte. Don't forget to choose your level of spice today at any one of our three locations.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
So much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant Foundation here with you, being able to chop it down today and having good conversation. The lines are wide open. The text lines are wide open. 323-625-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text 422-4796. Let's chop it down and make the thing happen and really be able to have a good conversation with persons. I want to read a few texts for you and before we get out of here for the 1 o'clock news. It says, Howard, you're wrong. You are wrong. The Prime Minister has an electric vehicle at its station at Cable Beach Station. What the hell, good? What good is it there? You understand what I'm saying? What good is it there? Huh? Howard Grant just bought a Range Rover. I bought a beautiful vehicle. Where is it, Howard? It's in Port Everglades. It's been there for the past 3 years. Well, what the hell? What's good is it for me? I live here. I travail on a day-to-day basis up and down these streets, and I don't have the vehicle. So what good is the Prime Minister vehicle if it's sitting up in Cable Beach Station? That's the text that actually came through. Got the text 422-4796, 422-4796. So it says, Howard, all electric cars are solar ready. Why wait on the government? Put the solar on your roof and drive for free now. Worst case scenario, charging an EV, BPL bankruptcy burns much less gas than at the pump. Do your research, Howard. The question is this. Have you researched the fact that we don't have this disposable cash in the country? Are we just going to have these casual conversations about these things without being able to be very clear on our position? There are people scrounging. We're talking about the mass population. We're not talking about the niche markets. We're not talking about the 5% who has access and opportunity. We're not talking about those persons who can live comfortably on the outskirts of Nassau. We're talking about mass population who lend to this thing. who's able to keep those retailers that are taking on a position right now, they're still buoyant because people, whether or not it's $5 or $20, they're still purchasing gas. We're talking about those people. We're talking about those people who had to leave their jobs or who were fired from their jobs, many of them, as a result of the pandemic and had to move back in with their parents, move back in with family members. We're talking about these people. We're very clear in our position that the conversations we have maybe a little bit highbrow. A lot of persons, you're highbrow, you've educated yourself, you've done some things, you have an opportunity, find stability in your life. But that's not for the majority of Bahamian people. People are living on a day-to-day basis, looking from check to check, waking up, hoping to God to make a tip for gas, for food, for this, for that. Are we real in this country? Or this is just, is this, you know, fluff and flutter for you? To talk about purchasing an EV, $100,000 investment. To talk about putting solar on your, man, talk to me, these people burning the little can thing, the Bunsen burner thing. They got hot plates in their homes. They still need to take care of their families. Let's talk, man. And let's be honest with ourselves first. Before we can be able to come out here and you tell me, do my research about EV, how it could possibly purchase an EV. But what good is that going to be able to do for who we are as a people? That's all I'm saying. The government has a responsibility for being able to put the infrastructure in place that we could change the course, the direction that we chart. There is relentless conversations about the increase in tax in almost everything. I had a call this weekend. The head of the association for Airbnb wants to be able to come with me. These are conversations that we need to have. The intimacy of your home has been, you have to now divvy your home up for an opportunity to be able to exist in this country. That's what you're putting your money on, not a vehicle. You say, all right, we got some money. Let's see if we could cut off this part because we don't have to be in the side of the house. If we could turn this into an Airbnb, we could possibly make $125. If we could make $600 a week, we did well. These are the conversations that are happening in this country. This middle class is gone. It's eroded. It's not a part of who we are. There is only relentless, perpetual survivor's mode. That's where we are. And if you have the reserves to be able to tap into, then God bless you. But the rest of us out here are on relentless survivor's mode. Our eyes are peeled back, red, pulsating. It looks like we are over-caffeinated because we're looking for an opportunity to be able to make something happen for our families going forward. There are conversations, if your wife say, I'm pregnant, my God, you didn't start with extra prayer. We got to go fast and pray, baby. God, no, I can't afford another child. Guys, let's have a real conversation. Give me a call, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Says, what mass population? You mean the ones I see in Costco on plantation every week? Man, stop it, man. You know how much people live in this country? Why don't y'all stop? Why wouldn't you stop playing like this? Because you see your cousins who is capable of being able to move from the States every so often go over? Stop it. Because all of us know about this. That's not going to stop. We have independence. Our independence exists within the freedom of movement. And we take full advantage of that freedom of movement. But the access to economic empowerment and freedom that we're looking for from an economic standpoint does not exist for many of us. Let's talk like this. Says your cousin coming over to the States every so often doesn't mean that he or she has money. We have been convinced to fake it till we make it. And many of us go down faking. Many of us, our brothers and sisters, go down faking. And until you get to that position where we have to scrounge to put you in the ground, then you realize, oh my God, Johnny didn't have it like that, eh? But my God, he was living like he had it. He had nothing. Now you got to figure out how you can put the man in the ground. Guys, we're going to take a break for news and get back to this conversation. We'll
be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, lines wide open today. Please be a part of it. The Foundation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up with the text, 422-4796. Just kind of put some stuff in there. It says, Howard, you're spot on. There's some text that came through. It says, the majority of persons are still hurting. Persons all over begging. It's heavy. This is persons making these assertions, purchasing this or purchasing that, etc., out of the touch. They are out of touch with reality of our current situation. Lots of qualified persons cannot even get a job, despite looking and reaching out aggressively. I know personally of a few. Listen, I don't want to be able to pull my small violin out and kind of play me a soft song with Cry Me a River today. But I just want to know that that concept and idea of Bahamian resilience have kicked in overtime. And the brakes are squeaking. It's exhausting. Having the conversation the other day with Dr. Nyambi Hall Campbell Dean, Dean Campbell Hall. And when she says, Howard, I don't want to be every woman, that's exhausting. I had to assess that. It is exhausting. But this is a conditioning that we were used to, that we're familiar with. The idea that we have to be relentlessly present and ever working. Committing ourselves to a service that never yields anything for us. There's no reciprocation in this country. You're give. That's servitude. That's literally slavery. There's no reciprocation here. Not for the most of us. And in theory, for those who get the perceived reciprocation, they get something back. When you scratch the surface sometimes, you find out that there was something that's untowards right there. That you did something outside of the norm. My wife works for the government of the Bahamas. Decent woman, I love her, right? And so she would tell me the stories. And she told me this concept and idea that exists within the organization that she's in and says that you had to be a certain number. And the only way you can, she said, this is the teaching that they gave you when she got into the department. This is almost 20 years ago. She said, no. Nah. They told her, no, nah, baby, you're 62. For you to get to 61, 61 have to die or retire. That's just how the organization is set up, right? And so I always thought that, no, people need to see what you can capable of. You need to show them. And she said, listen, you just don't get it. You don't work in the organization. You don't know. So I left it alone. I never bothered with her with it anymore. But every so often, she would tell me about someone getting superseded or something happening. And there's always this concept and idea that would come back to her. And they said, child, you ain't get this yet. You've been here all this time. This conversation is here. Child, you ain't get this yet. You've been here all this time. Child, what I willing to do, y'all ain't willing to do. This kind of conversation that, you know, people would just say casually, which is wild to me, but nonetheless. Let's be very clear about this. I don't understand. Let's take it from a woman's perspective. I don't understand you yielding yourself, your substance, who you are, and still going to work. That's two jobs you have to do. This is bananas. Just to give us the perception that you're moving forward in an organization while you have to give of your substance, your conviction, your character, your being, and go do the people's job. You're confusing me. For the most part, that is how this society is structured. You have to give up your convictions in many instances and do the job for you to be able to get forward in this country. That is bananas to me. And so when I hear these things and I read this about people who are qualified and overqualified, there are people sitting down right now with degrees upon degrees who have been shut down because of their youth and their ambition. Calm down. You know, people are telling me the same thing. They say to me, Howard, you have political aspirations. I say, no, I don't have no political aspirations. I left that alone. I said, you did enough. The system has done enough to me. Nah, man. The fellas just want to know that you get these things. They want to know that you could be able to get a little cut hip, proverbially, and still remain committed to this cause. That they can use you and your talent, your voice, to speak up and on behalf of them when they're ready. And that is the length and breadth of your existence from a political standpoint. Howard Grant can't do it. Y'all could do it yourself. I don't have time to that. And so when I see this fight within the Free National Movement, I look at it, I look at the players, and I know some of these people personally. Let's just be very clear about that. And I ask myself, well, who's fueling this? Who paying for this? Let's shoot straight. Shoot straight with me. This idea that's been designed. This idea that has been designed to give you the perception of production or the perception of a functioning democracy is all a facade. This is destroying the Free National Movement. This fight in the organization, the Free National Movement has been in a domestic relationship with relentless abuse internally. You're going from one person that abused you to another person that abused you to another person that continues to abuse you, and you only function in abuse because that's all you've ever known. That's how you function. You function in abuse. It's almost like that girl who's, remember Leslie Miller made a joke one time? If I don't beat her, he said it in jest. He said, if I don't, man, she don't think I love her. That's how the Free National Movement functions. That if you don't have this kind of turmoil that exists within your organization, you believe that this leadership ain't know what they're doing, man. And whilst we see that Maurice Moore has taken on a position, I called Maurice Moore this morning. Make sure you pick up your papers. It's in the papers. Maurice Moore, one of the founding fathers of the Free National Movement yesterday, decried attempts of the Bloc former leader, Dr. Hubert Minnis from addressing constituency associations, saying there is nothing in the party's constitution that authorizes anyone to shut a former FNM member down in that way. Asked what his thoughts were on the attempts for the FNM leadership to prevent Minnis, a former prime minister, from speaking, Moore said, "It wasn't, to my knowledge, the leader. It was the chairman, and there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the chairman the authority. So it was a bad mistake on his part." I feel like that's a cop-out also. Maurice, I love you. I can tell you the truth. And I know that you're always politically correct. But we've always known there be a trifecta in leadership in any organization. There's always been the leader, the deputy leader, the chairman. That trifecta pushes the organization forward. They carry the agenda for the organization. Leader, deputy leader, chairman. So to say that it's not the leader, it's the chairman, then it says that you have a rogue chairman. And if you have a rogue chairman, then there needs to be a position taken against the rogue chairman, if that's what you're saying. I've also spoken with Dr. Sands this weekend. And I'm waiting for him to be able to come here to get clarity on these things. Someone called me and says, "Howard, why don't you talk with Richard Johnson?" Richard Johnson has put enough information out there for us to be able to ingest. I need to talk up to some of the persons who want to be able to keep mum on this thing. Let's talk about this. The FNM only knows how to be able to respond to domestic violence. And they call it democracy. This is domestic violence within your association. And you believe that this is okay. This is the way that it's supposed to function. No one else functions like this. No one. There was a clear path. There was a clear purpose. There was something laid out to say that we're supposed to go in this direction. And everyone decided to be able to go on their own path. There's no cohesion in the organization, but yet you're convinced that you could be the next government of this country. I don't know how. How? You only respond to domestic violence, which is crazy. This is a proverbial wife beater that you only respond to. Why is that, FNM? Guys, please give me a call. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. And let me know whether or not I'm telling you the truth. Do you see that? Because that's how I see it. Do you see it the same way? How would I think that the FNM needs to dismantle and reassemble with new leadership? I don't support Minnis, Pintard, or Sands. I don't have faith in them. These are texts that's actually coming through. He says, "Hello, Howard. Could you please tell me how this government is operating? It's unfair to pay taxes twice. If you have an apartment and wanted to put on an Airbnb, why pay a yearly real property tax plus taxes on Airbnb rental amount? Please tell me if I'm wrong. I think that this PLP government think that we're stupid." These are the texts that's coming through. Now, let me let you know. In the hotel, when I worked in the hotel got significant concessions. In fact, if you want to build a hotel, there's an arm in the Ministry of Tourism that affords you an opportunity to be able to access up to $500,000 to be able to build your property, right? You get the property, you identify those property. Ministry of Tourism will assist you in being able to develop that for a tourism arm. They give you these particular money. They support you in this instance, right? And so you get all the concessions of a major hotel. And what that means is that no taxes on the imports, no taxes on these particular things. So you get those concessions. So if the government makes a determination that they need taxes from you on a day-to-day basis for, you know, heads and beds, then you can't say anything because the government has given you the concessions upfront. Okay. For you and I who identify a piece of property, buy the brick, the mortar, we build the house, we've done all these things, it was our private living abode that we've had to pay property taxes on up to a particular point. Now, hard times has hit, economic crunch has hit the entire globe, and you need to figure out a way to be able to have supplemental income in your home. You've identified to be able to invest in your own home with your own money, parting off a piece and creating Airbnb. You put it on Airbnb, and then all of a sudden, the government of the Bahamas, after this registration, can be able to identify, already had conversations with these people, to say that we need to get a tax, a portion of the tax, from this particular, I think it's wrong. I think it's absolutely wrong. And there's no two ways about that. The government of the Bahamas has not given me any concession to bring my furniture in. the extra bed that I had to pay for, the extra two beds that I had to pay for, the couches, the tiles, and so forth and so on, I got no concessions. I've done so because I know that my son is in school and I need to create supplemental income so I can be able to take care of my home and take care of my child simultaneously. There are no jobs available, but I had this home and I've done so. Like so many Bahamian people. And the government of the Bahamas seeks to come in there and tax me on top of what I've done. Rejecting the idea of the foundational concept of the people-to-people program that existed in this country. I need to understand that. Because I was indifferent about the fact that the government even introduced this concept under the former administration. Why tax the people for their private living abodes and never provided them concessions? A home that I've been living in that I have to pay for, that I have to continue to pay for, that I need to be able to survive, and so the bank wouldn't take it. But you're taxing me on top of that. I think it's unfair. Please give me a call and tell me whether or not I'm right or wrong. I see a telephone call on the line. Caller, you on the line with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Howard. How are you?
I'm good, man.
I agree 100% with what you're saying with the system that is broken in this country. It's not only that's broken, it's the political system and vice versa, you see. Because these people, there's a sense of entitlement in the public service, and I can tell you I worked there for 12 years in the department. There's a sense of entitlement, you know, and there's a sense of, well, even, you know, despite the fact that you may come in with more academic credentials than some of the people that are already there, you are always pushed to the side.
Absolutely.
I've seen that. I've experienced that.
Absolutely.
Political system in this country, we have a problem.
You're gone, cousin. Call me back. Your phone cut off. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Right here, my brother. Listen, the previous caller, let me just add on something to what I think he was trying to express. You know, the Bahamas should have been operating on what you call a meritocracy. But we all know that that is not a true standard in this country. We have a lot of persons who returned here, even those who didn't go off. But have honed and sharpened their expertise and yet cannot be paid a proper salary to survive in this country. Let's make one thing very, very straight, clear, and succinct here. On the campaign trail, this current administration had told the people that they didn't foresee any new taxation coming forward on the backs of Bahamians. And they touted that as one of their hallmarks of wanting to come back into government. Mm-hmm. It's kind of ironic that as soon as the minimum wage was increased, mm-hmm. that BPL rates would have been increased.
I don't think it's ironic. Now stop it. You're just trying to be decent.
I'm trying to be very diplomatic.
Inevitable. It's inevitable.
It's the same
conversation we had with Mike at Alkidas when they kicked me off of ZNS and tell me leave Howard because I was entertaining conversations. When I asked Michael Alkidas, how in the world you expect to cut tax by 2%, where are you going to make up the shortfall? And he said, well, you know, it's a creative. Always this concept about creativity and innovation being introduced. And the only thing that they do is the same thing that former Prime Minister Minnis indicated was lazy, was taxation. That's all they do.
Exactly. And this is why what I'm trying to allude to here is that we as Bahamians, as taxpayers, we need to stop the nonsense and accepting this rhetoric that there should be no new taxes. We all see that this country owes all kind of money to the IMF and the World Bank and so on and so forth. And where's these monies going to come from? Stop listening to these politicians telling you that there's no taxation, no new taxes are going to come forward. Because the only people we are fooling is ourselves, okay? So that's all I think the previous caller was trying to allude to. We need to get our people back to work. And yet they're raising all these monies from the work permits and all this stuff. But then, you know, you still got our people at a disadvantage because a whole lot of us, when I say us, I'm talking about Bahamians, they are not working. It's not for the lack of not trying to find work. But it's the mere fact here is that cheap labor seems to be the order of the day in this country, although the taxation and the hard living here is very high. but you can't find money to keep pace with the increase of taxes and the living conditions here. And that's where I'm going to end this hour. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate your telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a part of the conversation, please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4359, 325-4316, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Let's read a couple of these texts. It says, Howard, stop it. Stop it, okay? It's a text. This is Howard, stop it. Get your Rivian truck. You deserve it. Okay. All right. It says, you're worrying about the fancy philosophy of cutting carbon footprint and worrying about the government leading by example. The government won't do it. Both the FNM and the PLP are anti-renewable energy and anti-electric vehicles. Renewable energy and electric vehicles create a loss into their old-fashioned ways of earning revenue. From fossil fuels via the power companies and via us burning fossil fuels in our vehicles daily. Because our burning fossil fuels significantly fills their treasury coffers. The more fuel we burn, the more money they earn. Howard, since you want to cut carbon footprints, think about you having a fully solar-powered house. That changes your electric vehicle. By the way, I know what is to sleep on the floor, never travel for vacation, and have no food to eat. I am not out of touch. I'm fighting you. I'm not fighting you. These are conversations that we're having. So here's the next text that comes to you. Says, while you're at it, can you also tell me why we pay VAT on duty, please? These are some texts that's coming through. He says, Howard, the system is broken. We are taught if we work hard and educate ourselves, you will be rewarded. But in real life, the ones who are less qualified and the ones who get elevated are the ones who get elevated because of what they are willing to do. This is heavy. I thought about that the other day. I thought about that heavily the other day. I thought about, I don't know, are you in the same position as I am? Are you looking at your qualifications, your capability, your experience, your exposure, so forth and so on, and then lifting your head and looking at your financial position? Are you doing that? Have you done that? Have you ever done that? And you ask yourself this very subtle question, what am I doing wrong? And then you try to muzzle over your life and look over it and try to identify the infraction, that particular point, that juncture when you went wrong. Are you doing that? Have you done that? Or are you just on this kind of a treadmill? Are you in the rat race and you're, you know, thick in it and just doing your thing and not looking, you just get it locked in? Because I do that. I ask myself, why the hell am I here? If this is what I offer, why am I here? Why am I in this kind of position if this is what I offer? Then I look back at my parents. I look back at my grandparents and see what they were able to build. And I know that I've been further and made it further than so many of them, if not all. I know that I've gone off, I've learned a different language, I've experienced living in the States, I've gone over there, I've met people, I've gotten into politics, I do all that. Well, what the hell, why the hell am I here? And you look at it and you realize that the system is rigged. The system isn't designed for you to be able to push forward with your aspirations. They used to call us, he's a striving young man. And as soon as they see you striving now, they seek to shut you down. And that they doesn't have to be any one individual or political organization. It's the they that exists that knows that if your talents are recognized and come to the forefront, then their jig is up. The gig for them is up and they will have to produce. So they do everything they can to keep some productive people out of their space because it'll show up their inconsistencies or inabilities. That's what it is. So you're shut out not because of what you can do, or maybe you're shut out because of what you can do. Why is it that we have to dumb down ourselves to become a part of something that we perceive to be bigger? That's a part of the power, the 48 laws of power. Why? In this small society that we have to play stupid. Oh, I don't know. Until we're given an opportunity and slowly, incrementally incorporate these things in there. Why are these men and women afraid of what you carry? That's bananas. An individual went to school to be to better herself, got a degree 5+ years ago. Now, fast forward in 2023, they are telling her that they can't recognize her degree because when she got it, she did 4 classes plus work. So they are implying that she was overworked. So if she wants to be recognized, she has to do the classes over. This is ridiculous. They are cherry picking who this rule is applied to. I know about this, man. I know about this. It's one of the most discouraging things to live in this space. Let's read another one. It says that the FNM experiencing growing pains. Come on. Stop it. It said big corn's getting mashed, but it's too. But this too will pass. I have more faith in Pintard than the entire tax and fly PLP. This is a text that's coming through. It says, Howard, so glad to hear that you are not support all these new taxes. I fully supported the PLP initially. The thought of adding VAT and RPT into Airbnbs is robbery for Bahamians. I agree with you. Howard, RBC is building a massive building. Let me take a telephone call, then I read this.
Howard.
Go ahead, caller.
Good day. How you doing, brother?
I'm good.
You have a lot on the table. Let me see if I can quickly get through a couple of them. I'll probably start from the last one. One, the government, if you look at the amount of taxes that you pay with VAT and whatever, if you want, like all your food bill, you do 10% of that, you're paying a significant amount of taxes.
Every month.
VAT that you don't get back.
Never.
And we're feeding primarily, and you are being a party man, we're feeding primarily the monsters that these parties create. Remember, the PLP set aside $65 million, I think, for consultancy.
Mm-hmm.
There's huge monies we're paying out to guys who've been retired multiple times, keep coming back. Our party machinery, we just keep funding, and we're just gradually drowning in debt. The country is in a sad state.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we got to keep taxing the same people, squeezing blood out of stone.
Mm-hmm.
Back down. Now, they ain't just, before you could, they got away, you know, they didn't tax on the breadbasket items. Now that is passed on to the poor. And then they say, oh, we can give you back that a couple of dollars every month in some kind of social service assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Next on the gas, guys. Man, listen, they keep coming back to the government. I don't hear them saying nothing about the organizations, the gas, not the dealers, I mean the gas companies who they purchasing the fuel from and who own the places within which they are. They need to go and ask them for a break. Tell them stop charging them all this money that they charge them monthly for those places that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So we have you find like the guys like Roka and Hasty, they ain't up with those guys, you know, because they making money. So what they talking about is the main problem is the persons who they are purchasing, who they renting from, the companies, who are charging them exorbitant fees.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you don't hear the Hasties, you don't hear the guys who have their little gas stations doing their thing. You don't hear them complain. They're not a part of that. You know, there's more with the tax. You know, it's so much more that we could talk about. I mean, it's really sad, and I'm really disappointed in the country, where the country is headed. As a person, as a professional, as a person who came up from a poor class up into the middle class, and how we just continue to get strangled. And then on the thing with Toby, listen, I prefer what the government is doing, I prefer this. You know, because if Toby had it by himself, you know, Bahamian investors could take part.
Mm.
That would have been him and whatever his money.
Now, let me ask you this question.
If the government renegotiated, as they said, then more Bahamians would benefit. And I'm okay with that if it comes out as the way they said.
Now, I want to ask you this question.
Because, you know, I with one eye closed and one eye open, I listen to what the government say. Thanks, bro.
No. Wait, don't go. Don't go. Where you going? Okay, hold on. Don't go. Do you think that it was by design that the government present this to the Bahamian people with this kind of swiftness? to say that you would have an opportunity to be part owner of this thing. It's greater than Toby. That's essentially that's what I see the government saying. This is greater than any one man. You too would have an opportunity to be a part of this, to be able to ease this kind of social tension that exists between the government and possibly being able to squash one Bahamian person. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, I think, if they negotiated what they said, 50%, essentially they're keeping the land. Once you are on that little portion again, don't forget they still have another 7 or 8 acres that they privately own. But if government's saying, we can get this, we're going to limit what you can do, the Bahamians will have the jobs, will be thing. Listen, I all for that. Now, mind you, their cronies are going to get the first slice.
Mm-hmm.
And I okay with that. I'll take that because it's better than one person getting it, and Toby Khan put $100 million into a project. And he have the vision what they have, so I'll take that. And I'll accept that the government, like I say, one eye open,
this
one
heavy
eye
what you're saying.
You got to take whatever they tell you with a grain of salt, because a lot of times what they say don't come to pass as they say. Remember Cisco, the food company we took over from Bahamas Food Services?
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to get a share of that too. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
They promised us when they took that over, the Bahamian people would become a shareholder in that. Must be 49%. Never materialized.
Mm-mm.
All right?
Wow. I appreciate what you're saying, my brother. You did well in your contribution today. Guys, please give me a telephone call. I want to be able to hear more about you. Now, I'm concerned about this. Let me tell you why. Because I don't see it from that angle. I see it as we move into the future. I see it with Frankie Wilson in the foreground of my mind, speaking about the fact that 10 black boys had an opportunity when the government of the Bahamas changed under the UBP in the shifting times. 10 black men came together, put some money together, and was able to invest significantly. Now they have tremendous opportunities to be able to see themselves growing in this country. That's how I think about it. I think about it as the fact that if life is a cycle, then the Sunshine Boys have to come again. If life is a cycle, then there must be another dispensation of Bahamian ownership and leadership. But if the government stops that from happening, the question that I have is that who's next? And if it's only for your cronies and only for the men and women in your immediate circle that can be able to say, hey, listen, I can give you an opportunity to be a part of this board and you can be a quiet investor, but this is the stakeholder. It can make you a stakeholder. So that's the question that I have. Because for me, I don't see this as only a fight between Toby and the government. I see myself in the position that says, I can also find some people to raise some money. May not be $100 million, but let's not negate from the fact that the government had already made a commitment to Toby. Let's take one more telephone call, and then we can be able to take a commercial break. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
I just want to refute something that previous caller said. I think all of us as Bahamians, we are entitled. I think we should be foremost, and all of us should have. I mean, if that was Toby's dream, I don't think his dream as a Bahamian should be quashed just because of so-called jobs for the multitude. Alfred Gray made this statement several years ago. He says that, once Bahamians are working and they have jobs, then they don't care what the government does. And, that may be true for some, but it's not true for all.
Okay.
And it's that plantation mentality that still exists. Yes, some people want to work, but some people also want to own things and to have their and to bring their vision to fruition. So I disagree with that statement that previous caller made, Howard.
I agree with you.
As Bahamian in your land, in your country,
I agree with you.
You have a dream, you have a vision. The government say Bahamian first.
I agree with you.
It's our time, and so on and so forth. You should work along with Toby to make sure that his dream too comes to pass, and that everybody can, live in harmony. Because, Chester Cooper said that if this is not disputed land, why not give Toby his what he asked for? So there are a lot of unanswered questions. There are a lot of things that are happening that we need answers to.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your telephone call, my brother. I do appreciate it. I want to say this, and then we're going to take this commercial break. In 2012, the PLP, which I always tell you, I think they're relentless as it relates to campaigning and the concepts that actually deals with the hearts and minds of the Bahamian people, that they're able to identify and craft a campaign and articulate what we're going to do. This is what you've been asking for. This is what we're going to do. In 2012, the PLP came up with a campaign, We Believe in Bahamians, right? It was a mind-blowing campaign, mind-blowing. Let me tell you what they did. I was in 8 Mile Rock at the time. And when you walk out of your door, right, you walk out of your door, you saw your cousin right down the road on this beautiful billboard, you know, in the clearest degree in terms of pixelation. I mean, big, beautiful thing. Your cousin, gold teeth, all everything in there, smiling. You said, Jesus, I know this boy, he right from Sea Grape. Right? You saw somebody else who you know. And they put that we believe in Bahamians, and not just any Bahamians, not just generic Bahamians. These are Bahamians from your immediate community. Blew my mind. They went into the community, identified these people, took pictures of them, and placed them in your community for you to understand that this is the commitment that we make, not only generally to the public, but more specifically to your local community. This is what we're going to do. The We Believe in Bahamians campaign was a campaign that they were supposed to take into government. When they got into government, the majority of that administration has done, being able to do something as it relates to Sarkozy's Marillion and being able to deal with that. That was Perry Christie's baby, and a great deal of the attention was focused on that for far too long. So we didn't get the effect of We Believe in Bahamian. Now, fast forward into a new day, right? Great campaign, still carry the sentiments of the Bahamian. The Bahamian people need something refreshed, renewed, revived, restored, so forth and so on. And this is the fight that they have. The PLP, in the spirit of who they are, over the past 70 years, was supposed to fight for Toby Smith. Now, they shifted on us and indicated that this is an opportunity to empower more Bahamians. I like the avenue. I think it's a great shift. But it's not, in my view, is disingenuous. Is disingenuous to the Bahamian people from the initial position that you've had when you were vying for a campaign position, when you were vying to find yourself in leadership. And you're supposed to champion the cause of one individual Bahamian man to say and fortify your position to say that we do believe in Bahamians. And you too can be able to own something beyond the ramifications or the small commitment of where you were born. This is our land. That was supposed to be the fight for the PLP. For me, I didn't see that happen. And that is the sort of approach that I take in the conversation that I have. Because I, too, want to be a part of this greater Bahamian dream. I, too. I promise you, man. I don't want to be working for people. I want to own my own radio station. I want to own my own television station. I want to be able to do these things. And if I'm seeing the government continue to be able to reject the men and women who commit themselves to these things, then what hope is there for me? Let's take a quick commercial break and be right back, guys. 96.9, the lines are wide open. Please, we're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back. Right after this. The
foundation. The foundation.
Karifta is almost here, and Alive has partnered with TCL for you to capture gold at the 2023 Karifta Games. Switch to Alive and get a free TCL 30 Plus or TCL 30 SE on select Alive postpaid plans to share pictures and videos of our Bahamian athletes as they hit the tracks to win gold. Visit your nearest Alive store or mobile van location and come gold with us at the 2023 Karifta Games.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal, so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient, so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Foundation. And we are back, 96.9 FM radio. Guardian Radio, Howard Grant in your company. I thought one was coming. Right, guys, we're in a good conversation, good position. Please give us a call, 96.9 FM. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit us up with the text, 422-4796. Let's see. We see a call on the line. Let me see if we have him still. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Anton? All is well.
Okay, great. Interesting conversation you're having there. At least the part of it that I got. I can't say that I agree 100% with all you've said, but what I could say is what caused me to call in is a good part of what you said I 100% agree with and fully support. And, you know, just to further elaborate on this conversation, look, man, we need to move from the behemianization policy to the behemianization legislation.
Okay,
right?
Talk to me.
And that conversation isn't one that just started in the last administration.
No.
I've been carrying that bucket of water for about 2 decades now.
Yes.
From way back with Steve McKinney's talk show, right?
Yes.
Unlike some politicians who came on the scene, who are no longer on the scene, who acted as though they brought that conversation to the table. But nonetheless, look, man, the Bahamas should be, first and foremost, all opportunities in this country should be first and foremost for behemoths, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say behemoths, I don't mean just the 1% or the top 5% in the country who are most wealthy, okay? You started to speak about the Sunshine Boys, and let me tell you, that's a great story, right? And a lot of history goes with that story. But the thing about it, Howard, is you had a government with a prime minister, and in particular, a deputy prime minister into Arthur Hanna and Insulin in Finland, and the cabinet ministers, but also, Howard, great men and great women whose shoulders they all stood on to rise to where they rose, who were not afraid to stand up and speak truth to power, who were not going to allow for others who were timid of their voices or whatever God has put in between their two ears, cause them not to speak because they may cast them in a dark spotlight, or because they may victimize you, or because they may try and isolate you, or because they may try and pull you down. Howard, we need strong men and women in this country who are not afraid to stand up and speak truth to power. Howard, that is what forced me to call in on your show today. You went on a rampage for a moment, Howard, and I just love what you were talking, because it's about elevating the Bahamian mind, the Bahamian people. It's about moving us into economic majority rule, economic empowerment, economic freedom in our own country. And the only way that happens is if you break the status quo, is
That's
if you
it.
Ensure that the opportunities flow, and if you ensure that all Bahamians whether black, white, yellow, green, whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
has opportunities to rise up in their own country. Howard, mm-hmm. let me make this last point. And for all of those who are listening under the sound of my voice right now, there's absolutely, I appreciate what the caller before last was saying. Not the part about the Toby Smith thing, right? Although I appreciate what the government has expressed in that it is seeking to do exactly what we were talking about when I called your show last, mm-hmm. if you recall, Howard.
I remember.
When we were talking about the national infrastructure in investment fund, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what needs to happen in order to ensure that these opportunities just don't go to one group of people,
mm-hmm.
but it is spread amongst all behemoths. Look, man, we need to spread the wealth, but at the same time, Howard, look, if you're not on Jesus' team, if you're not on God's team, you ain't getting into heaven, my brother. If you don't do God's work while you are in the earth, you ain't getting into heaven, my brother. That's just the reality of it, right? You understand what I'm saying to you, Howard?
I'm trying to get it now, Anton.
Let me.
Because that sounds like a proverb.
Right here. Let me go ahead. Let me pull it together right here.
Go pull it
the
together.
Concept, Howard, the simple concept is, look, if you help people who carry the water, did the heavy lifting, did the work, took the blows, right? Put everything on the line, made the sacrifices to see to it that their side wins. It's absolutely nothing wrong with those people, Howard, if they are behemoths, if they qualify for the opportunities, getting opportunities under their government. But at the same time, the government still has the responsibility to ensure that opportunities flow to the entire country. And I believe that we have a prime minister. I always end with this, Howard, because we have to speak in the present. We can't speak in the past and expect for the present to not be influenced if we don't speak to the present at the same time. I believe we have a prime minister in Philip Grave Davis, who has a heart of gold for the people. I believe he's also surrounded by some people who I consider to be poor mindset, and don't want to see people rise, who should be risen in this country, or other circles rise outside of their circle. But I believe we have a prime minister, Howard, who is going to get the job done. And this is why I called to encourage him, because he's the prime minister. This is his moment right here and now. And that is going to determine his performance, is going to determine
his legacy
for the masses if the PRP is returned to government again.
Thank you for the opportunity, my brother. Thank you. I appreciate it, Anton. Always appreciate your telephone calls. Let me read a couple of these texts before we get out of here. And Anton, for me, you start off on a good wicket, me and you eye to eye, about empowering Bahamians and finding an opportunity for them. And then you say, we're going on a rampage. Okay, I accept it. But it was good. You tell me it was good with the rampage. All right. It was all about, beyond your political convictions and belief, that actually being able to put Toby Smith on the altar that sacrifices him in preparation for something greater for the Bahamian people, after you've already made commitment to Toby Smith. That's all I'm saying to you. You've made commitment to Toby Smith. The entire country knows that you've made this commitment to Toby Smith. Toby Smith yielded on his position and being able to come to the media simply because he was waiting for an alignment, a proper aligning with this organization, this PLP organization administration, to do as they said that they would do during the time of your election campaign and pursuit. And you step back from that. That's all they're saying. And stepping back from that, I only look at this and say, what about for Howard? What about when Howard get, because this ain't nothing, this is nothing for me. You listening to people call in and say, man, Howard, I got $20,000, let's go. I say, okay, I got $20,000. We can do this. But the discouragement is, Howard, which one of us really can get in with the government? We got to be able to talk to somebody. Because the government doesn't see us as a unified body with a determination as Bahamians first. They only see affiliation. And affiliation goes through the lens of politics. And I may not necessarily share your political view, but I should not be neglected, rejected an opportunity as a Bahamian. Let me read some of these texts. I see my lines lit right up. Howard, the franchise fees are obscene, and they retailers need to expose them. This information that's coming through. This is Howard. When the price of gas goes down, why don't they say that to the public and tell them we are giving y'all a break? But yet they are crying and expect sympathy. Got to be joking. There's some information that's coming through. Amen. Howard, persons have to delete qualifications off of their resume to try to get a job. When you have too much qualifications, they say that persons are scared of you. This place is crazy. There's a text that's coming through. It says, boy, I don't get it. Everybody want good road, good school, good hospital, good everything, but they don't want to pay taxes. These things cost money. Many people don't travel. They was taxing from the expectations. I don't want to sound what you're saying here. Many people don't travel. They was taxing from exception. The Bahamian start to late taxes late. When I don't understand. I don't understand the last piece. I was with you up until the top. It says, what's good, Howard? Do you think the Bahamian people is fed up to the point where they are willing to get rid of the PLP and the FNM parties and make way for Lincoln Bean and the COI? I'm sorry. Or because we love the PLP and the FNM so much, we're willing to finish to destroy the country. Right? I love how you always kind of twist it for the COI and Lincoln Bean. Right? I'm not going to fight you. Go ahead. Just the PLP cut the taxes and cut social services assistance. They increase travel budget and the consultancy budget. It is a policy to keep people dependent. That culture of dependency is where they draw their base. Why do you think that the Bahamas, with all this sun, hasn't seriously invested in solar energy? Those 10 black boys. Wow. Let's take a telephone call. Carly, you got 30 seconds to be able to get out of here. Go ahead. Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. You know, I'm happy that you is now, he's a PDF to file the death court, right? It's a medical package when it comes to the human. And I'm glad to know, I somehow feel like there's only me one, but you have to be affiliated with some political party in order to, you know, move forward or change anything in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is very wrong. You know, I feel like you don't have to have no affiliation with no party, even for the sake of, let's say another party would have run you with something. When the other one come in, they more or less...
Stop reviewing cancer.
But yeah, they don't cancel. They don't review it. They just take it. Because why? They now got to give that. You shouldn't have to be associated or affiliated with no political... And that's what destroying this country. And that's why... Person, children who would have gone off to school, they can't find no sensible, decent job.
They stay over there. They do their best. Look for an American gal or fella and marry her off and say, let me stay over here. They do their best.
That's what I'm saying. That's
unfortunate.
That is so wrong, man. Yeah. Everything linked to politics in this country. Everything.
Wow. I appreciate it.
And don't believe me, go there and poke your head into something.
Wow.
You know, it's political. You got, oh, I got to call this one. Oh, I got to
it's unfortunate.
This one in order to get this one. Come on, now. We have to fix that. That's why I keep saying, if you see somehow they could find a way to stop these contracts, these things called contracts, that's the demon. Once they do that, nobody will have no favor to give no one. No one will have no favor to get from nobody. And watch this country run smoothly and a third party to come right in.
Wow.
Until they stop that, it's going to be impossible for any other party to come and take over.
I got
to
let you go. I thank you so much for your telephone call. The contract is the demon. My God. Let's see if we can take a next telephone call. Caller, you got 30 seconds, the real 30 seconds. Let's see if we can do that. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, what's up?
Just tell Anton, he mouth greasy. Ask him how much out of Bahamian. Greasy mouth, but he got translated into.
I don't say he was at this for 20 years. So his mouth get greasy, then it get dry, then it get greasy, get dry.
He must have been eating turkey or geese. You know, nobody in dance on them. And everybody done see brave for who he really is.
Wow.
Amen. Did I call it just now? Amen.
See you later, my brother.
Fix this country, huh?
Thank you so much for your telephone call. Let's take a next telephone call. 30 seconds before we get out of here. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. You got 30 seconds. You there? You gone? You're gone. Let's see if we can read one or two of these texts. It says, would you rather have 49% Bahamian ownership or 100% Bahamian ownership? That's 100% garbage, what that caller said, because we all know we won't be able to invest in RCI project. Wow. It says the next step for the Sunshine Boys or Girls, say the next set of Sunshine Boys or Girls can't even happen because consecutive governments only looking out for them and their families. Watch the political families generation after generation to both sides, never-ending cycle, right? Let's see if we can read another one. It says, Howard, RBC is building a massive building on the corner of Collin Avenue and Madeira Street. How was that approved if there is not 75% parking in the public and 25% parking for staff? Okay. It says, do you realize that the caller said? Do you realize that the caller said? He said, you and me could come up with an idea. We do the research. We flesh it out, the idea, and put it into a visible business plan. We take the plan to the prime minister, deputy prime minister, and those two men can sing, wait, it's too much for you. Of course, this has happened in the country before. That's the supreme authority that we give these men and women to be able to identify these things and reject it for the Bahamian people. This is what we're seeing. This is what we see on a day-to-day basis. Last text. It says, hello, Howard, the people would not mind taxes if they were being put to good use that we can see. They tell us nothing about what our taxes are being spent on. Oh, we can see that. Say, show me the money. We can see exactly what's what. Guys, this is 96.9 FM radio. I thank you for your conversation today, your contribution today. There's a lot's been going on in this country. I appreciate it, man. I really do appreciate this kind of a breakdown. And we got to talk like this. I just want to be transparent with you. I have great aspirations and a desire to own something in this land. Before I go out of here, I want to be able to say, I've done this, I've done that. I've held these particular things down. And we know that legislation and policy affords us those opportunities. It ain't going to stop my desire and burn, but we have to agitate to ensure that those policies empower the Bahamian people. I thank you so much for your telephone calls. I thank you so much for your contribution. This is 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Granite, your company with the foundation. Stick and stay for Z Live with Shivago Lange right after this. Have a beautiful day, guys.
The foundation.
Foundation. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.